25 today, 25 today. Yes, it's episode 25 today, which means we're halfway to our target of 50. Nearly there. Almost. Still a few months to go, though, but I'd like to say a quick thank you to everybody who's listened so far, and please continue to listen, and it'll keep me going too. Oh, and thanks to everyone who has bought us a coffee as well. Diolch yn fawr iawn. Thank you very much.
Croeso I Yma Mae Dreigiau. Welcome to Here Be Dragons. Gyda Cyfarwydd Cymru, with the Storyteller of Wales, Professor Llysef. My story heddiw am y Saesneg. Today's story is in English.
All of these stories are 100% true, for a given value of true. The Golden Harp. Now, what can I tell you about Morgan the Meddwin? Ah, si feta, that's him now. Can you hear it? Oh, the trouble is, you see, he thinks he's got a talent for it. Oh, my goodness.
Wait. Yep, I think he's stopping. Oh, he must have drunk too much and passed out again. Oh, that's what his name means, by the way. Morgan y Meddwin is Morgan the Drunk. And if the bad harp playing was the worst of it, then we'd be fine. Unfortunately, it's not, because as I say, he is also a drunk. And not only that, he's also tight.
How tight is he?
Well, I'm glad you asked. He's so tight that one day he dropped a farthing. He bent down to pick it up so quickly that it hit him on the back of the head. That's how tight he is. And he's mean, and he's ornery, and I don't know what else. In fact, he's generally got a bad name throughout the neighbourhood where he lives. Where does he live? Oh, he lives a long time ago around Cader Idris. There are some stories around Cader Idris itself, you see. The name Cader Idris means the seat of Idris. Idris was a giant, and Cader Idris, one of the biggest mountains in Snowdonia, was said to be where he lived. And there were legends attached to the place saying that a man would spend the night on Cader Idris and come down in the morning either a great poet or a madman. But around the mountain itself are thousands of little farmsteads. And in one of these lived Morgan and his wife. Morgan was unpleasant and the worst kind of fool. You know what the worst kind of fool is, don't you? It's the kind who doesn't know he's a fool. How can a fool not know he's a fool, you say? Well, turn on the news one evening and you'll see. Morgan expected to be given everything, every favour, every blessing in the world, and yet would give nothing himself. That's the kind of fool he was. And in the evening, when he was in his cups, that's a sly way of saying drunk, he was at his worst. And the only thing that would calm him down is picking up his harp and oh no, he's off again. I can hear it. Oh my goodness. What can you do? Also in that area at that time lived a family of fairies. Now these ones were of the best of their kind and always looked to help out and earn themselves the name Bendith y Mamau, the Mother's Blessing. However, they would not give out favours willy-nilly, oh no. They wanted to be sure that their favours were going to the right people. And so they devised tests. And that is how they and Morgan y Meddwin cross paths. This particular night, Morgan had been drinking for some time, and his wife had decided to leave him to it. She knew what was good for her when he'd had a few. But as sometimes happens with the worst of drunks, they can have a good and happy time. And the drink can take them out of themselves for the shortest of times, so that you would never recognise them. So when there was a knock on Morgan's door, anyone who knew him might be surprised when he cried out, "Come in, whoever you are!" The door swung open, and in walked three hooded and robed figures, strangers to Morgan. "Excuse us," said the first of them. "We are but weary travellers. We seek some sustenance on this cold night. Do you have any food or drink you can give us?" Now, if one of Morgan's neighbours had been surprised at come in, his next answer would have made them faint, cold out on the floor.
There's some cheese and bread on the table over there. Go on, help yourself. Never let it be said that Morgan the Meddwin lets another man go hungry."
The fairies, for that's who they were greatly happy and surprised at this, and as they put some bread and cheese into their packs, they turned to Morgan and said, "Sir, would it surprise you to hear that we can grant you any wish you would like?"
"Well, as you can see, I'm fine for food and drink, lads, but do you know what? Sometimes I do wish that this old harp of mine would play the tunes that I can hear in my head, and not just what comes out of these rusty old fingers of mine."
Without a word, the three fairies vanished. Odd, thought Morgan in his good mood. Then he reached out for his harp, and there was something different about it. Where once had been dull, unvarnished wood, was a deep mahogany colour, polished and stained to within an inch of its life, and everywhere about it was picked out in gold leaf, strange and esoteric designs. Morgan lifted it up, held it to his chest, and began to pluck. What an amazing sound! He tried again. Again, and another amazing sound. Could this play the tunes that were in his head? He was about to find out.
Yes, this was it. They were doing it. He was playing the tunes in his head.
Before too long, his wife came home with a group of her friends. There was safety in numbers when Morgan had been on the sauce.
"Oh, Morgan, dear," said his wife, "I thought you had company. Who was that playing just now?"
"Aye, it was me, wasn't it?"
"What? But, darling, you play well, of course. But I thought I didn't recognise the tune. It was one that someone else might be playing."
"No, I was playing it on my lovely harp given to me by some very nice gentleman."
"What lovely harp?"
It was then that she noticed the golden harp sitting upon the table.
"You sure it was you playing?"
"Oh, you doubt me, do you, woman? Well, let me play for you and you will soon see."
And once again, Morgan picked up his harp and began to play. But this time, a strange thing happened. Everyone in that small boothin, all his wife's friends, began to dance. Up and down and round they went, swinging each other in and out in a fine country style.
"You must all be enjoying my lovely music," said Morgan. "For you're all dancing."
"We can't help it, my love,"
cried his wife.
We cannot stop.
And that's when Morgan realised it was true. He was playing, and as long as he continued to, they would have to dance. And that's when Morgan's wickedness jumped on his shoulder. By the end of the night, there were very exhausted people in Morgan's Bothin. Absolutely tired out and aching from all their dancing. And this was just the first time. People had to be careful from then on in how they treated Morgan a Meddwyn. If they did something he didn't like, they would find in the middle of the night a strange music coming into their little buthins from outside. And the moment they heard it, everyone from the little baby in the cradle to the old granny on sticks would have to dance. And dance, and dance, and dance. Until their limbs were all out of joint, and their shoes were run ragged, and their feet were bleeding. And so the slopes of Cadair Idris entered into a time of great sorrow and worry. What could be done about Morgan and his wicked music? Nothing that they could see. In fact, there was nothing they could do but rely on the goodness of the fairies. And thankfully, the fairies came along. The fairies had arrived back into the area, looking for more people to do a good turn for. More deserving people, that was. They were impressed that last time they'd come, they'd found such a good person in Morgan. But it so fell out that the day they came was a day when Morgan was heavy in his cups and decided, just for the sheer heck of it, to make everyone in the neighbourhood dance. He played so hard that he was apt to wake the dead. And the fairies were dismayed and a little bit embarrassed at their mistake. They went into a conference and decided the best way to proceed would be to stealthily move on without making a fuss and drawing attention to their big mess up. That night, using means known only to them, they snuck into Morgan's Bothin whilst he was asleep and spirited the golden harp away. The following morning, when he arose, his breakfast had gone cold. He was angry and wanted to punish his wife, so he reached for his harp and... What was this? No, surely not. At that moment, Morgan a Meddwyn realised that his reign of terror was over once and for all. And that no doubt there'll be a lot of people in that particular neighbourhood who would want to have a quiet word with him in one way or another. And so he disappeared, escaped, ran away, never to be seen again, leaving his wife with the buthin and the farm, and a good turn she made of it too. And as for the fairies, well, they were very careful from then on who and how they gave out their favours. In fact, they've been so careful about it, I haven't heard about them giving out any favours in the past few hundred years. Perhaps the world has gone too wicked. Or perhaps they are just ever so cautious. If you do hear of any, though, be sure and let me know, won't you?
Mi fydd ein stori nesaf yn y Gymraeg. Our next story will be in Welsh.
Am fwy o wybodaeth ac e-bookio ni, ewch at cyfarwydd.cymru. For more information and to book us, go to cyfarwydd.cymru.